everybody, and thank you for tuning in to this community cannabis forum on New Jersey Revolution Radio. This forum was hosted by the Coffee House in Edison, New Jersey at 931 Amboy Avenue, and sponsored by Help Not Handcuffs and Hub City Smokes, located at 84 Patterson Street in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Our cannabis forums are a chance for the community to discuss the effect of drug laws on their locality. If you're interested in hosting a forum in your area, you can contact us by emailing info@njrevolutionradio.com, visiting our website, or going to our Facebook page and messaging us. We are now joined by Henry Hank Green in Edison, New Jersey.
Edison, New Jersey, and anyone that's in this particular area should try to come out and visit them. They have a variety of different types of things that are going on in here as far as bagels, cakes, ice cream. Man, I so many different things in there. I didn't know what to choose from. So, you know, come by, stop by, support them. Welcome to our forum tonight. Again, New Jersey Revolution Radio, and we're sponsoring our community cannabis forum. And this forum is, we're doing it the second time, but we're trying to make it go across the state anywhere that people want to hear the messages and information that we're trying to share. And the information that we're trying to share right now, even though the legislation has been shot down for the cannabis legalization, there's still work to be done. And while they're out and trying to figure out what they're trying to do, I think it gives us an opportunity as activists within the communities to really get our points across on things that we want initiated in the bill once the legislation and once legalization is in place. And so we want to get our views and our points of views and people to be heard and hear some of the different ideas and things that from different people other than the politicians and people who have something monetarily at stake. We want to hear the people on the outside, social justice, people that want to get into the game, economic entrepreneurs. So we're trying to encourage that image. Many people don't know what's going on with the legislation and how it's going to work and where it's going, how they can get involved. And what we want to do is shine a light throughout New Jersey, wherever we can go. So, you know, hit us up, New Jersey Revolution Radio, inbox us if you want to be a part, if you want us to come to your town. I think it's important information, and we'll try to, you know, bring the best of the best and different types of people and get them involved so you can hear from them. You know, we have a nice panel tonight. It's going to be very entertaining. Hopefully, we can take this on the road again, like I said, and get your support and your input with some of these people that we're going to hear tonight. And you know, we're going to move on for that. So my first guest coming up, I met at our first forum, and she was very informative. And, you know, I mean, it's a lot that I'm intrigued about because she's a professor at our local Stockton College in Galloway, New Jersey, our local college there. And it's going to be important to see how educating the community on an educational basis, how that turns out and what it looks like. And I think the start of it, she's on the ground floor of having educational classes and providing a means where it's not just looked at as a street or a negative things. It's a professional, it's going into the entrepreneurship and the professionalism and all these things like we like to have, you know. We got a good person here tonight, and we're going to try to let her explain to you what she does and how she's going to transform it from an educational perspective. And tonight's guest is Ms. Katarina Sadia from Stockton University. And welcome to the Cannabis Forum.
Thank you, Henry. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. I'm Dr. Sidia, and I run the cannabis minor at Stockton University. And one of the things that we kind of ran into once we first started talking about having a cannabis program at Stockton was what kind of program should it be? Because education really focuses either on the medical or entrepreneurial aspect of it. But my sense was that those are kind of the visible aspects of the industry, but it's not the entire industry. We have to think about how once the industry arrives in New Jersey, and I mean, it's already here, medicinal marijuana is already here. Once it goes recreational, we'll have more dispensaries, we'll have more communities affected by this industry, and we have to kind of anticipate what those impacts are going to be. So as an educator, my first concern is, of course, you know, my students. Oftentimes, you know, we're constantly being told, you know, that like where academics live in the ivory tower, you know, and we do not prepare kids for the real jobs. So we're like, okay, well, the industry is coming. Let's, you know, prepare kids for the real jobs, because there will be an industry, and there will be more happening than just the dispensaries. So we started thinking about how will this industry affect everything else in New Jersey. So we're talking about things like sustainability, for example. Once there are more dispensaries, much of the energy used, because cannabis industry as it exists today, it's going to be indoor grow. So energy use is going to be tremendously affected. We have environmental science majors who are interested in sustainability, who are interested in energy use, who are interested, you know, in aspects of that. We also have business majors who might not necessarily want to run the dispensary itself, but if it goes recreational, you know, there will be things affected. And of course, we also have kids who are interested in social justice. And this is really where my primary concern lies. Because once a new industry comes into a state, communities will be affected in many complex ways. What do you think is going to happen to the rent? What is going to happen to businesses adjacent to the dispensaries? How zoning is going to work? What is going to happen to labor? We thankfully have a union leader here with us who will be talking later, and we're working with them, talking about how can we ensure that people who work in the industries are compensated fairly? How can we ensure that communities are not affected by gentrification? Because what happens in Denver, for example, is there is a ton of businesses, large businesses that move in, and not to put like too fine point on it, most of those businesses are run by wealthy white people. They move in, rents go up, gentrification happens, communities get displaced. In Denver specifically, a large proportion of immigrant Ethiopian and Eritrean communities have been affected by rising housing prices. A lot of them drive Ubers now, you know, to supplement their regular incomes and work as dispensary night guards, you know. So, yeah, there is kind of closing the loop. So my concern was primarily is how is it going to affect everything around us? And also, if there are going to be new jobs coming with this industry, how can my students get those jobs? So, you know, this is kind of really a two-pronged approach that we took. And this is the ends we're working towards.
You set up gentrification, social justice, mm-hmm. entrepreneur. You had all those different things. And those were my questions with the legislation as it was being laid out, that these things weren't being spoken upon or being listed as important, and how it was going to affect the community in those ways, housing, jobs, anybody that wanted to work in the industry, like you said about a lot of the workers and things like that. But you know, what do you think about gentrification, and how do we set that line and get involved with that?
Well, I mean, obviously, we need to work on very robust renters' rights. We need to ensure that, you know, predatory landlords are not allowed to basically raise housing prices like however they want. Pretty much every town in New Jersey, I believe, has some sort of like affordable housing provisions. And we need to make sure that those provisions are insured and that at least, you know, some of the revenue from the industry is diverted not just towards sort of like the general municipal tax, but some of it is specifically earmarked towards affordable housing, towards protection of the traditionally disenfranchised communities, you know, poor communities, communities of color, and to basically ensure that if this industry is going to come and change things, that at least it pays, you know, it pays its way.
It pays back, yes.
Well, the problem with, I think, again, you know, not to generalize too much, but in any industry, in any sort of money-generating enterprise, there is this thing called externalization of cost. And basically, they pocket the profits and they externalize the cost to the communities. And what legislation needs to do is to prevent this externalization in very explicit ways, because if we don't, it will happen.
Will these forums that we're doing right now, because I see it as a way of getting what you're saying out there, and that many people are maybe not necessarily talking about this, and we're having this dialogue now, and it's going out to many people, and you know, will our push help to open people's eyes to at least start talking about how these issues will affect the people?
Well, I certainly hope so. And Stockton has been very active in meeting with legislators, in, you know, meeting with a variety of news and media outlets. And, you know, we have been telling people we are here, we're willing to work on those issues, and we want to look into that. Also, we started offering, and excuse me, this is going to be a bit of a plug, but we started offering a certificate program, which is entirely online. It's a continuing education program, and this is our means of basically, because a lot of people were asking, how can we get into this minor, how can we get into this industry? And we put together the program through continuing studies, so people don't have to pay, you know, full university tuition.
Right.
Like the entire certificate, it's like 6 courses, and I think it's all together like $2,500.
Mm-hmm.
So compare that to regular college tuition. And this is our way of giving people, you know, a somewhat more affordable way of getting, you know, some credentialing in the industry.
So as you were saying, they have to give back. To the city, to the people, if they want to run this industry. In Atlantic City area, there's going to be a dispensary in surrounding areas.
Mm-hmm.
The city itself, Stockton, has moved into Atlantic City, and it's like it's his first home, and now it's his second home. And it would be something. It would be great if Stockton, with the funds and things that's going to come out of it, if they themselves can probably pay for a lot of those, you know, training for people in the community to be on board and be trained up before the industry really kicks off.
This is what we are working with Hugh as well as some other entities. We're looking to develop joint trade, like job training and apprenticeship type programs. And I'm especially interested in getting post-prison population involved, because as you probably know, there's a lot of talk about expungement.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, expungement affects only very limited subset of offenses as it's currently written. And it is kind of unclear what it's going to be going forward. It's not going to be automatic, chances are, like from what we've seen from Murphy and the rest of the legislation. So there will be quite a bit of the, you know, population that pretty much built this industry who will not be eligible to work
in the
it.
Industry.
So we are interested in developing job training programs in onboarding those people, if not necessarily into cannabis industry itself, then perhaps into industrial hemp, which is currently
right.
Legal on
right.
The federal level, and it could be somewhat easier to get going. But yes, we're very much interested in developing those types of programs.
Will you have an emphasis on the medical marijuana and that portion of, because that industry is, people would like to still, as far as jobs and training and things like that, they still need those particular tools, hopefully, to get into that. That will help them to be ahead of the curve, I guess.
Sure. I mean, from the point of view of business, you know, and like manufacturing, cannabis is cannabis, whether it's medical or recreational, you know, it's the same thing. And also, I should probably disclaim that Stockton takes no official stance on legalization. The industry, it's going to get bigger, you know, if it becomes recreational. But even with just medicinal industry, there are still, you know, jobs coming in the state in terms of, you know, new dispensaries and new licenses being granted. And, you know, so far we see those licenses being granted to sort of the larger companies.
I guess that's where a lot of us, the social justice and the entrepreneurs, Our guest later on, New Jersey Weed Man Ed Fortune, will be here speaking on his behalf, talking about just that. Someone who's been in the black market and now can't even get in the game right now as it is.
Yeah, I will not speak for Ed. You know, he speaks for himself quite well. He actually just recorded the lecture for us.
Yes.
I will, however, say that if you look at legalization of cannabis in Canada, pretty much a lot of those companies are fairly large, and all of those conservative politicians who were just railing against drugs, you know, not 5 years ago, now they all are on advisory boards for cannabis companies.
Wow. There's a big switch in all of the money talks.
I mean, shocking exactly no one, I'm sure, but...
About the course, let's give a little bit about the course that you take. Where do you start at, and where do you go? Like, do you start from just growing or industry, or how do you go?
Okay, the certificate, it has a course on cultivation and growing. It has a course on legal aspects of it. This is cannabis law class. We also have course on the medicinal aspects of it. This is our research course. There's also a course called Topics, and this is the one that we basically have guest lecturers come in and record talks on various topics relating to basically all aspects of industry. We had somebody, you know, from High Times do a lecture. We had Ed Fortune do a lecture. So, you know, we really try to bring sort of a great diversity of speakers.
That was from somebody from High Times, huh?
Yes, we did.
That's a pretty good guest right there.
Yes, we were very pleased with it.
Big time.
And also, there is a business course. So this is the certificate program, and we're basically trying to present kind of a well-rounded thing. For our students who take a minor, we assume that they have a major, you know, and depending of what their major is and what they happen to be interested in, we have two required courses, basically, cannabis law and introduction to medical marijuana. Then they have to do preparation for internship and internship when they basically get hands-on experience. And the last course is going to be the elective, which is related to the major. So say if like we have an environmental science major, they will take something in sustainability or energy use or, you know, organic cultivation or any of those things. Biology majors might be interested more in sort of plant biology, botany, you know, whatever. If you have a business major, they might want to go into like hospitality courses. Mm-hmm. So we try to make sure that the students basically tailor it in such a way as it can go with their main interest, and it will give them kind of an extra option. Like, yes, you have your business degree, you can work for pretty much any company, but you also have a leg up into the cannabis industry. So this is what we're trying to do. If you want to go into, say, the law school, you can absolutely do that, but you will also have leg up and say cannabis advocacy.
Okay.
And so forth. So this is how this minor is supposed to work. We try to be flexible, and we try to place students into internships relevant to what it is that they want to do.
All right. As the law stands now, what is your anticipated thoughts on where it's going to go at from here as far as since they paused it at this moment?
You mean in terms of adult use?
Yes.
I mean, it probably will become legalized eventually. I do not see it being decriminalized because that will make it very difficult for people to work on personal enrichment. We probably will see some sort of adult use legalization legislation. I'm hoping that it will differ from the current legislation in that they will make the social justice component of it more robust, like at the very least maybe do like an automatic expungement and maybe remove the requirement of like no prior felonies from people being allowed to work in the industry, maybe be explicit about not requiring drug testing, you know, to work in the industry, maybe specifically earmark some of the taxes that they go and collect towards sort of restorative justice, you know, for the communities which were most affected by the war on drugs. So this is my wish list, which is not necessarily a prediction of what will happen.
Yeah, well, I have that same wish list right there. I would like to definitely see the social justice aspect of it bumped up a little bit more. That's why I'm against it right now, is because of there's not a clear pathway to saying how they're going to pay for this and how it's going to be done. And yet we were ready to pass it without those things, the clarity in it.
I do think that there are a lot of people currently in jail who should not be in jail, and it's a shame that they are there. And if that legalization passed, I would be happy just because it would get people out of jail. That part, you know, I would have no issue with. But yes, as it stood, it was not a perfect thing. And I also kind of feel that we have been talking earlier about the environmental impacts. And as this industry grow, environmental impacts are going to be huge. You know, it was like indoor grow with the lamps, with the energy use. It's huge, like fertilization, you know, pesticides that they use for indoor growth. It's going to be huge. If you look into hemp cultivation, you know, because it's going to become legal on the federal level, New Jersey is going to release its regulation probably toward the fall this year. So we'll have kind of legal hemp cultivation. How much of it is going to be organic?
Right.
So it is going to have an environmental impact. It already is having an environmental impact. It's going to grow. So I want to account for that as well, because, you know, far as I'm concerned, social justice and environmental justice, they are very much linked, because, you know, communities which suffer the most are usually communities that, like, suffer the most from everything.
One of the things I saw, too, many of the other states have where the residents can grow their own, and we're being cut out the opportunity to grow our own marijuana, to have our own plants.
Yeah, I mean, home grow, I think there is like concern about, you know, people sort of having those huge, you know, cultivation operations. But in our climate, you know, it's probably not going to be like a massive enterprise. Like what I foresee is parents, you know, who have kids, you know, with rare type of seizure, cultivating a few plants in their backyard. I really do not see how it's a problem for anybody except those who see kind of...
Yes.
This is positive externalization, as, you know, business people will say. This is the things that usually do not fly. They want negative externalization. They want us to accept the cost but not the benefits.
Well, yeah, well, this has been a great interview. Is there anything else that you would like to, you know, state before, you know, something that's missing in the process, you know, because you spoke about a lot that's missing and how it could be a little bit better and what you guys are doing.
How much time do you have? I think I kind of outlined what I'm personally are interested in, you know, what my wish list for our program is. And, you know, we will see where we go from there, because I think Stockton has been kind of trying to respond to the community around us as well as to our students' interests. And again, you know, those are the kids who will be graduating with a ton of debt. We want them to have jobs, you know, after they graduate. And we want them to have good unionized, well-paying jobs with health insurance so, you know, they can actually work and survive and thrive and hopefully, you know, in the world that is like not burning down every 5 minutes. So.
Well, it's been a great time speaking with you. I appreciate your time, and I hope to see more with you. I know I will see more with you in Stockton. I want to come out and visit you.
Yes, please do.
Thank you, Ms. Kathy Sadia.
Thank you for listening to Dr. Ekaterina Sadia speak at our Community Cannabis Forum in Edison, New Jersey. Coming soon to our podcast and our website, the New Jersey Weed Man, Ed Fortune, and our panel discussion. Please contact us at www.njrevolutionradio.com for more information on how you can host a community forum.